It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Thursday morning here on WGR. Sal Capaccio now on the Western Hotline. It's Jeremy and Joe here on WGR. Morning, Sal. Did you hear us guessing the legends of the game a little bit earlier on?
I have not heard anything. Is there a fun game we can play?
Perfect. I want to ask you the question that we've been, you know, teasing and going back and forth with a little bit. We don't know the legend of the game yet. We're going to announce it here at 9:45 this morning. But
you don't know either, but you're going to announce it?
We don't know, but we're going to announce it 9:45. Okay. We'll find out before then. We've been given a clue, though, that we've been kind of playing around with. The clue is that I know the highlight you guys are going to play for this player. So we've been kind of taking that as, well, this player has one highlight that stands above the rest. So with that in mind, is there someone that comes to mind right away of a bill where there'd be no question that's the highlight you're playing of that guy?
Sam Adams.
That was Jeremy's guess. That's a good one. 2003, right?
I mean, he was a good player, but that's the highlight.
100%. The pick. Yep.
Yes.
And it was a good call. I don't even remember what my guess was at this point. Terrence McGee was up there for me.
But Terrence McGee had he had more than one. Yeah, he had one great return that didn't even get to the end zone. That was a great highlight, but he had others that actually got to the end zone.
Yeah. Josh, remind me, who was I going? Oh, Arthur Motes. Arthur Motes was what I was thinking of because of the Brett Favre hit. And I don't think he's done it. I don't think he's been back for Legend of the Game. And probably he'd be good at it.
I don't think so. And listen, I know that you can go to other places, but Arthur is so entrenched with the Steelers now, too, after going there for and being in their media and everything. You know, I mean, he would, though. He'd be great. He still loves the Bills, obviously, but
that's a good
I know
point.
He's in Pittsburgh media.
That's a good point. The Steelers play the Ravens at 1 o'clock. Is he going to be in Buffalo for that? That's a good point. I didn't even think of that. Sal Capaccio on the West Hur Hotline. Bills and Chiefs on Sunday, so a lot to get to, of course, still, Sal. But let's start with the Barnes Firm Injury Report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Twofold, the injuries that we learned about or saw in the report yesterday, and two, is this normal now that they do a walkthrough on Wednesdays, or have they been doing, or do they do that throughout the entire season?
It becomes normal late in the year.
Late in the year.
So they did it last year, maybe the year before, like once you get to like December. I think this year it's a little earlier because the bye week is so late that they're trying to kind of navigate through like all the grind of every week. So it does happen every year towards the end of the year. I think this year maybe a little bit earlier than normal because they haven't had their bye week yet.
So of the players that we saw not practicing yesterday, we already know about Coleman not playing this week, so not a surprise there, but how meaningful do you think it is that Spencer Brown and Dalton Kincaid were not on the field?
Very meaningful for Dalton Kincaid because the way that Sean McDermott talked about him and Spencer, I mean, he didn't say that either would necessarily play or not play, but he was asked specifically on Spencer if he was hopeful. He said he is. And then Spencer said, it's getting better every day. You know, Dalton, there's no indication. It seems like this is very up in the air. So I think that's the one to kind of monitor this week, along with Amari Cooper as well. Obviously, Dalton played last week. He went out of the game, went back into the game, came back out, didn't finish. But I think that's the one that if you're going to, with a bye week next week, you know, maybe if it's just you err on the side of caution, if that's the case. So I think obviously today would be a big day to see if Dalton Kincaid practices at all.
And for Cooper, I saw a video of him catching from the jugs machine. Do you think that means anything compared to what he's been doing in recent weeks?
I do. He hasn't been doing that in recent weeks. So I think that that's a good sign. And he hasn't been caught catching passes from Josh Allen. Now, when we go out there today, we'll see if that's the case. And if he's catching passes from Josh Allen, too, then I think you're trending in a really good direction here. But just for him to be catching off the jugs machine is a lot better than just taking, you know, lazy catches and balls. And I say that in a way that just a warm up, basically, from coaches as the, you know, pre-practice period, basically.
And how important do you think it is that he plays? I mean, we know the injuries at the position already, but he's only really had the impact in the Tennessee game so far. But it's hard for me to think, Sal, that given Coleman is already out and Samuel hasn't been able to be counted on throughout the year, that against this matchup and this defense, which is a top unit in the league, that it's going to be very hard for them, I think, to throw the football if they, against this defense in particular, if Cooper isn't able to play.
I think it's vitally important. You know, we've seen this receiving corps struggle to get separation, especially against man-to-man defenses. The Chiefs will play more man-to-man defense than a lot of the teams the Bills see. They'll mix it up, but they'll definitely play some of that. Steve Spagnuolo is very, very creative, keeps you on your toes, a lot like Sean McDermott does in a lot of ways. So I think that's number one. Number two, it's just compounded by the fact of Keon Coleman's not playing, Joe. I mean, if Keon Coleman's playing and you get and you don't have Amari Cooper, at least you have another X wide receiver who, in his own way, can get a little bit of separation. You have to have a little bit of, you know, some focus on. But if you don't have both of them, I mean, and then you throw in Dalton Kincaid possibly. Holy cow! But if you don't have both of them, then it just allows the Chiefs to focus more in the middle of the field where the Bills want to control and what they want to do underneath. If you have Amari Cooper, you can't do that as much, right? So that allows Khalil Shakir to have maybe a little more space, or Dalton Kincaid, or Dawson Knox, whoever is the tight end, to have a little more space. So I think it's vitally important, you know, to the game plan wise in this game if Amari Cooper can or can't play.
It's probably a tough question because he hasn't played really, Sal, but I'm still trying to figure out like how integral or how involved in the passing game he'll be when he really gets going and hopefully the wrist gets healthy, because We talk about a lot his impact on others, and I do think that that is real. Like, I think his impact on others is super beneficial to the offense. But, man, like, end of last year especially, he was still a receiver that could just go off at any moment for 10, 11 catches, 150-plus yards in a game. And the Bills, I still want to think that that is possible in an offense like this, but the more Shakir has grown, the more that the run game has worked, the running backs, you know, like, I do wonder, you know, what Cooper might average for the Bills when he gets rolling here. Like, I'm doubting that the more I watch this Bills offense that he is primed for some, you know, 150 target pace.
No, I don't think that at all. I think that the Bills' philosophy doesn't change. I don't think they got Amari Cooper in here to replace what basically Stephon Diggs was, you know, as far as target share and things like that. I think they brought Damari Cooper in to do exactly what we just talked about, which is draw coverage away from what they really want to do. It's not a decoy either. I'm not saying that, but he's going to get his share, but I think it's going to be a share just like a lot of other people. It's the everybody eats mantra, whether you want to, you know, snicker at that, or no pun intended with eating Snickers. if you want to snicker at that, or you want to, you know, trust in that, however you want to look at it, I do think it's the philosophy they still want. I think it's the philosophy that they, you know, still want to adhere to regardless of who's on the field. What I think Amari Cooper does, though, is allows them to have another guy who is very experienced, big games, has put up big numbers. You get to a third down and five critical situation, you know, I think that's an extra guy that Josh Allen knows that he can rely on and trust because he's been in those situations before.
And on the other front, 803-0550, by the way, if you got a question for Sal, we'll get it in and we'll do that in a moment. But I wanted to ask you about Kincaid potentially missing, Sal, if he does. Like, what that really could mean, because I don't know. It's just been such a weird year for him where I feel like he has been good. And I know it's not even his fault that he's not putting up big numbers. Joe Marino's pointed out that Allen to Kincaid, it's more uncatchable targets than any quarterback tight end combo in the league this year. So there have just been moments. It's 11, I think, 11 uncatchable targets. So they're just not always on the same page as much as other tight end duos. It, just kind of trying to find his role. And if he's out, you know, maybe also in my head a little bit, Sal, is Knox has made a couple of big plays in recent weeks. He had a big catch last week. He had a big catch against the Seahawks. That I feel like if Kincaid misses, it almost sounds like a criticism of him, but I don't even mean it that way, that I just don't really feel like they're going to be missing a ton.
Yeah, it's a tough one, right? Because it's kind of weird, the juxtaposition here to think about, because even I will tell you, like, I thought Dalton Kincaid was in line for a really monster year, right? But I think the nature of what they want to do on offense that has lent itself to not being the case, but then you add in the fact that they haven't been on the same page all the time. I agree with that. You know, from field level, I will tell you sometimes, I don't know if it's necessarily even communication. I think a lot of times Josh might be like looking for something late in the down. So he tries to get it to Dalton and it's not there because he's trying to fit something in, you know, as best he can. So I don't think it's necessarily even that they're not communicating around the same page. I think sometimes it's just, hey, that's the guy late in the down. He's the outlet and I'm hurrying things up. So it's just not there. We've seen things real close on the sidelines, things like that, trying to squeeze a ball in, make the perfect pass so that, you know, if anybody can catch, it'll be Dalton, but nobody else, right? Mm-hmm. But the juxtaposition part is, now here comes Dawson Knox, who, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you his contract's great, but we've heard, how many times have we heard a lot of people calling up or tweeting us or whatever about Dawson Knox's contract and why are they paying him that, and, you know, he shouldn't be on the team. Dawson Knox is still a very valuable number two tight end. In a situation like this, if he has to elevate to the number one role, I mean, you feel a lot better with him than you would with a lot of other guys around the league who'd be the number two elevating to the number one. He has made some plays lately. He's also made some plays against the Chiefs, by the way. He's actually had good games if you go back against the Chiefs over the last several years. So, yeah, I mean, I think if they feel that, you know, Dawson Knox has to play that primary role, then, you know, they're comfortable with it. But make no mistake, I mean, having Dalton Kincaid available for a game like this would be far, far better for the Buffalo Bills than not having him available.
Absolutely. I think your Knox, I mean, there are a couple plays that come to mind. There's one where he got behind the defense while Allen was scrambling. He caught the game-winning touchdown in the regular season 2 years ago. And I'm looking right now, buying time. I'm pretty sure, Sal, his best day statistically of his career was against the Chiefs. Here it is. Three catches, 117 yards, and a touchdown in 21. Like, I feel like that's about as good as he's ever done in a game. But I agree with you. Like,
he's second on the team in yards per catch, by the way.
Right now? Yeah, it's
behind, I'm sorry, he is third behind Ray Davis. Ray Davis is 14.9, but the pass catchers, non-running backs, it's Keon Coleman and then Dawson Knox.
What if I told you before the season that two of the top three Bills players in yards per catch would be Ray Davis and Dawson Knox?
Wow.
Knox in the last three games has 95 yards. He had 47 in the first seven. So, I mean, a lot of that is he had two big plays, but those count, and they've been looking for explosive plays. So, him beating a linebacker up the seam, you know, like, those are plays. That's what's kind of interesting, too, is Knox in the last 3 weeks, those two big catches, have been the types of plays that we've been waiting to see from Kincaid. And Knox hasn't been getting the volume, but he's made a couple of splash plays recently. 803-0550 is the phone number if you got a comment or a question to Sal. I want to get a coordinator question with Sal, too, but we'll go to Andrew in Rochester first. What's up, Andrew?
Morning, guys. How are you?
Morning. Good.
Morning. Good.
Sal, the 21-day window opened up for Milano, and the Bills have the bye week next week. Does the team practice during the week, or do they all have off? And how does that affect Milano and his practice, I guess?
It's a good question. They will have off. It's written into the CBA. They have to have a certain amount of days off. I believe it's 4 or 5, something like that. So they'll come back after this game. They'll come back into the facility. Maybe they'll do a walkthrough or something like that. You know, they'll go do injury checks. But I think they have to be, they're allowed to be at the facility until like Wednesday. And then I think they have to give them off, something like that. Either way, to answer your question, though, it counts. All the days count. Doesn't matter if you're on a bye week or a non-bye week. They get 21 days, period. It doesn't matter, you know, what the schedule holds for the Buffalo Bills. So since the transaction was made official yesterday, they have until December 4th. So they can wait even until after the San Francisco game. They have this game. They have a bye week. They have the Niners game. And then they have the Rams. If the Bills wanted to, they could wait until December 4th to activate Matt Milano. And then he would play his first game against the LA Rams. So there's still plenty of ramp-up time here. And my guess is, to be honest with you, people say, well, why would they do that if you have a bye week and he's not going to practice? Well, I think the reason would be you want to get him out at practice, start ramping him up, and then he has a chance to let his body kind of dial back a little bit so they can evaluate where are you at, well, you know, how you feeling, and then what's the practice plan look like the next week as you go forward. And let's remember, too, if you activate Matt Milano, you don't have to play him. He can be active and then be a healthy scratch. There's a lot of ways around this, too, if you don't feel he's quite ready or you don't want to get him those snaps yet. So they have plenty of time. They're going to have until December 4th to activate him, and that isn't even until after the Sunday night game against the 49ers. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if he is active before that game. Like, that Saturday at 4 p.m., we see Matt Milano's on the active roster, and he might play on Sunday against the Niners, get some snaps or whatever.
All right. Thanks, Andrew, for the call. That falls under the umbrella of the Barnes Firm Injury Report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. This matchup, Sal, coaching-wise, we talked a little bit about this yesterday. It is – I'm thinking about both coordinators a little bit today, mm-hmm. where this is Joe – this is Joe Brady's third meeting against the Chiefs already. And I think the first one especially went relatively well. They started changing up the offense right when that happened. We've talked about their game plan in the playoff game. And it's Bobby Babich's first game against the Chiefs. Real quick, actually, on him before we get to Brady. We haven't even really, I think, asked you about that. Like, how do you think that's going? Like, there's no reason to think, like, there's anything negative, right? Like, Bobby Babich as the play caller defensively is, like, it's kind of hasn't even really come up, I feel like, this season.
I think he's done a tremendous job. He really has. I agree with you. It's not something we've talked about much this year. Remember, you know, last year there was a lot of talk about Ken Dorsey. There was even talk about Sean McDermott calling the plays last year. End of game situations, a few things like that. I think Bobby Babich has done a really good job, and he's definitely showing his worth. And he's proving that he can do this at this level, at a high level.
Right. And I'm wondering, too, like how maybe it won't be too different than what it's been, because I think when McDermott got in there, they started playing coverages and certain things a little bit more aggressive than they had under Leslie Frazier. And I feel like Babbitt just kind of continued that trend. Not to say that they're like this all-out, you know, Rex Ryan, let's blitz everybody defense. But I do feel like Babbitt gives a different flavor than what maybe they had a few years ago. And then for Brady, Sal, how do you feel like his offenses have looked in the two previous meetings against the Chiefs, and whether, like, this would be a big test for him, I think, in that, like, can you have a counterpunch? Can you have anything different? Because the Chiefs now have experience of two games going against him, and they're going to have a better idea this go-around, and if there's a fourth meeting, of what Brady wants to do against them.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? I mean, I'd have to go back and look at the actual numbers last year, but, I mean, they scored enough points to win in the playoff game, Joe, right? I mean, when you think about it that way, they were... Last year within, let's see, and then what did they do? They scored, last year they were 20-17. They beat the Chiefs.
Yep.
At their place, 20-17 in that game. And then they go to the postseason and they lose 27-24.
And remember,
I mean, they scored 24. So, I mean, like, and this is a good Chiefs defense with Steve Spagnuolo. And so I think that, you know, points-wise, and let's remember, there were plays at the end of the game that just didn't go the Bills' way against the Chiefs in the playoffs.
And remember that first Chief meeting? That was like, was that only Brady's second game, maybe? Second or third game? And it was maybe our first real look at, like, oh, look how they're using the running back in the pass game. And James Cook had a touchdown in that game that was almost down the field.
That was that opening down the seam.
Yes.
Play. I'm looking at it right now, 25-yard pass.
Yes.
It's a great call, by the way, no doubt about that. Let's see. James Cook, 10 carries for 58 yards in that game, 5.8 yards a carry. You know, that's the thing. The Chiefs are very good at stopping the run this year.
Right.
They're highly ranked, right? I mean, like, I know there's a lot of ways you can parse stats. I get that. And, you know, so if you just want to look at the basic numbers, and some people hate doing that, I get it. You know, but if you just look at the basic numbers for the Chiefs this year against the run, they are number two in stopping the run, 3.65 yards per play, and then overall 82 yards a game. But they're very average against the pass. They've been teams have thrown on them a little bit. And part of the reason is they're not getting a great pass rush. They're near the bottom of the league in sacks per pass attempt. I think that's one of the keys here. And obviously, that's Chris Jones. If Chris Jones can disrupt you in the interior, that changes the game. If he can't as much and you can do something against him, there's been some opportunity for teams to be able to throw against them.
On the emotion and the meaning of this game, Sal, how do you think the players have sounded this week about that and about how, I mean, that it's a Chiefs game, but that, well, I guess, I don't know, like just in general, how do you think they've sounded about the meaning of this game compared to maybe past Chiefs games?
Well, I mean, like Josh Allen said yesterday, and I've seen the clip going around, and he said it's just another game. It's week 11, like every other game. Now, he knows he's playing the Chiefs. He knows what the history is. The guys who've been on this team know. But, Joe, I will say, truthfully, I think the thing that's always been about a Sean McDermott coach team is kind of the consistency of the week-to-week approach, right? That's what the process is. That's what they preach. And I think they all know in the back of their heads, like, who the Chiefs are, what this game has meant. But they all also know this, which is the season doesn't end regardless of what happens on Sunday, right? Mm-hmm. This is not a playoff game where it's win and go home. Lose and go home or win in advance. It's a big game because it's the Chiefs, but because it's the next game and they're trying to get to their goal. And their first goal is to win the division. And another win would do that. Yes, you'd also cut into the Chiefs. I think it's more about, hey, we got to keep doing what we're doing if we want to achieve our goals, which is win the division, and then everything else is on the table for us, which is possibly one seed, whatever. But you don't get there unless you win another game here. And I think that's kind of the approach that they're taking. I think that this is not just saying this week. I just think that it's generally the way it works, the way when I've covered this team over the last whatever years, which is they approach every week kind of the same, to be quite honest with you. They don't really change up what they're doing. You don't hear different things coming out, but they understand. It's the Super Bowl champions. One thing is it's also kind of a new team in a lot of ways, right? Yes, there's a lot of guys who've been here. Of course there have been. But there's a lot of guys who really haven't been a part of what's gone on over the last several years, maybe last year. Yeah. But you go back to 13 seconds or the AFC Championship game in 2020. There's a lot of guys on this team that kind of they're new to this, and that doesn't impact them at all as far as what they know about the history of playing this team.
It also would be the last opportunity maybe for them to get the Chiefs here at Highmark Stadium, unless there's a playoff game,
next year.
Next year it would be here?
Yeah, so the way the schedule rotation works, as long as both teams finish in the same spot in the standings this year, which we think they're both going to win the division, right?
Yep.
Then next year, the AFC West team
comes here.
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha. So there would be one more opportunity anyways, but
right. So remember when so many people kept saying, I can't believe why do the Bills go to the Chiefs all the time?
Yeah.
Right. And I wrote an article about a couple of years ago and said, well, that's going to flip soon.
Right.
Because the way the schedule rotation works, the West is going to come to the East. Well, here we are. It's this year. And then again, it's next year again.
Yeah. Man, these two teams, I mean, they're just going to live in each other's hair forever. I mean, if they keep winning their divisions. They've won, I mean, the Chiefs have won, what, 8 in a row? And this would be, what is this going to be for the Bills? 5? 5 in a row if they win this year, which everyone thinks they're going to?
6. They've won 5. The Bills were 3-2. They're now 8-2.
It's why they keep, it's amazing. There are a lot of stats on this week, that these two teams are playing twice a week, or twice a year. I mean, as much as any non-division opponents going back. I think Brady and Manning are the only other two, like, the Colts-Patriots rivalry was the only other time that happened in, like, 30 years. So, there have been a lot of them. All right, Sal. Bills and Chiefs practice a little bit later on today. Who do we hear from today? McDermott again?
No McDermott today. We don't hear from... Thursday's a non-media day other than after practice for some players.
Okay.
So, you know, you'll get podium stuff today. And then we'll hear from Sean McDermott tomorrow, of course, on the Extra Point Show. I'm thinking it'll be 10:45 a.m., so he'll give us the, you know, anybody who's ruled out at that time will find out tomorrow. But practice today at 12:30 p.m. will be our first time to see Matt Milano back on the practice field as a media to get some video and pictures, too.
Right. And his knee, too, is the other thing to watch, right? Like, he still has... I know it's been longer, but he hasn't... played the leg, thank you.
Yeah.
It would be his first time coming back on the leg, playing on the leg, too. So I remember saying
but remember, he did practice in training camp.
Right. I remember saying that, though, like, or thinking that when he did hurt his bicep, that, like, maybe this could be, you know, a good thing
blessing
for the leg.
Blessing in disguise, it sounds weird to say that, right, doesn't it?
Right.
I know. I've said the same thing, Joe, which it sounds weird to say, but... You know, the silver lining is here. They've gone 8-2 without Matt Milano, and he's had another 3 months to let his leg recover.
Right. Right. Thank you, Sal.
I think we're going to have some interesting discussions when he does come back, what people think about that position. And I've heard from a lot of people who believe that he just won't be the same player, you know, like on, you know, fans. And that's possible. He's 30 years old. I mean, it is possible that he's not the same player. And does Dorian Williams maintain that job? I don't think so. I think Matt Milano becomes your starter immediately. And I think he'll show that he's still a very, very good football player.
And listen, the way last season ended, you're not going to hear me complaining about them having too many starting caliber linebackers, personally.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks, Sal.
You got it.
Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. Practice today, 12:30, as he mentioned. You got the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up at 10 o'clock. 803-0550 is the phone number. If you've got a guess on the legend of the game, again, our clue for today is there's a highlight that stands above the rest. They know what highlight we're going to play. So, to me, that means there's one highlight that does stand above the rest. More on the coaching matchup in this game. Joe Brady against the Chiefs for a third time. Kind of weird to hear that, right? Like that this is already his third chance at getting the Chiefs. It's not even been, I don't even think, a calendar year. Maybe it's just been a calendar year since he's been their offensive coordinator. 803-0550 is the phone number. It's Jeremy and Joe. Scott Pianowski, some fantasy talk coming up at 9 as well here on WGR.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Lamar Jackson's running away with the MVP. Josh will not get back into that race or win it unless he wins this football game. And two, he'll feel pressure maybe he's never felt before when it comes to how urgent you have to play on offense. Kansas City's offense owns the game. They own the football. You're going to get five or six possessions in this football game, specifically if you're Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. Every one of them is going to matter. Every one of them is going to count just because you understand the game is getting shrunk by Kansas City, so you have to take advantage of every single time that you get the football.
Dan Orlovsky. The best film breakdown I've heard on the Bills-Chiefs matchup so far is Bill Belichick on the cat-and-mouse game that's going on between the Steve Spagnuolo and Joe Brady on, and very specifically, how the Chiefs are spying Josh Allen and how the Chiefs came out spying Allen and then the Bills countered with, well, we're going to have Osiris Torrance grab the spy. And they're not going to call a holding penalty because it looks like he's just blocking. And then Spagnuolo's response to that was, well, then we're going to have our spy back up a little bit because now Torrance can't go out there. He can't be 5 yards down the field spying the linebacker or grabbing the linebacker. So looking at some of the Joe Brady versus Steve Spagnuolo stuff, like to me, that maybe is the thing that I'm in the most, you know, what do we not know yet? Because we know what McDermott versus Andy Reid looks like for the most part. We know what it looks like in the regular season. Like, the Bills are going to play the Chiefs a certain way. Keep the big plays in front of you. Dare them to make big plays yards after catch. And in the playoffs, it doesn't go so well. Like, we kind of know what that looks like. Brady versus Spagnuolo, though, you know, we'll see what Brady has that is different. Another good analysis I heard from Chris Sims, earlier in the week about Bobby Slowick, who's the offensive coordinator in Houston, is that there's the worst-kept secret in the NFL, or a lesser-known secret maybe in the NFL, is that once you start getting 5-6 coaches away from the Shanahan tree or from whoever kind of created the core concept of an offense, once you start getting like the fifth guy away from that, like Bobby Slowick was an assistant for Kyle Shanahan. He was not like one of the integral guys right around him. He was not Sean McVay. He was not Mike McDaniel. He was not Kevin O'Connell. He was not Matt LaFleur. Like he was just outside of that circle. But he was in the room, but he was outside that circle. And how he might be more of like a cook than a chef. Like he's running the playbook, but when teams start figuring out the playbook, Shanahan's of the world, LaFleur's of the world, O'Connell's of the world, like McVay especially, they know the core concept of what they're running so they can make changes off it. Versus Slowick, who might just be running the playbook, and when teams adjust to him, he goes, what's my next move? Like, I'm kind of lost. Brady is so hard to figure out in that department for me. Because what tree is he even? You know? What is his core concept? He's not really a Shanahan guy. He, in 17 and 18, worked for the Saints. So is he more of a Sean Payton guy? Maybe that's the right guy for this. Maybe he's more of a Sean Payton type of offensive guy. To me, I'm very curious to see what Brady looks like when he's got to start changing things up, when he has to start doing things differently. There's a lot of short passing game, getting the running backs involved. Screens are working really well. Spagnuolo is going to know what Brady wants to do. And does Brady have a counter to that? Or does Brady even want to not show it? Maybe in this game on Sunday, we wouldn't even see the counter. We wouldn't see the change-up. We wouldn't see the knuckleball that he wants to throw, because why would I show that to him now? I'll get through this game. We could even win this game. Low-scoring game, maybe, you know, playing our foundational offense. And then by the time we play the playoffs, I'm going to have these 3-4 wrinkles that they're not going to be ready for. A lot goes into that conversation, though. That's a lot deeper than that. 803-0550 is the phone number. Let's get some phone calls in. Hour away from we're gonna announce the legend of the game at 9:45. Been guessing that throughout the day too. Dan's got a guess. Dan and Glenwood's next. What's up, Dan?
Hey, I'm gonna go with Marv Levy.
You think it's gonna be Marv Levy?
Yep.
Does he have a highlight? There's no real highlight though for that, right? Like as a coach. So
where would you rather be than right here, right now?
Okay, right. Right, right. The highlight would be him doing it the last time he did it. Thanks, Dan. I mentioned that earlier in the week, that it would be very cool to see Marv do it, but I just don't know that they want to be running him back and forth from Detroit all the time, like a bunch of times. I mean, he'll do it again, I'm sure, but I don't know when you want to do that. Maybe you save that for a playoff game. Maybe you save Marv for a playoff game. Nate Clements got a lot of guesses on him. Recently, Ronnie Harmon is not going to be the guy. I just saw that one come in. There's no way it's going to be Ronnie Harmon. So, listen, this game is... I made this point with Jeremy earlier, that I think the game is important to win from an emotional standpoint, but that doesn't mean that in the context of just the Bills-Chiefs rivalry, that it has to be that meaningful. I think the meaning of it is strictly in you're chasing down the one seed. It's important to get the one seed. You have an easier path for the one seed, and you also want to stop their perfect season. Anything beyond that to me is just wanting to see the Bills beat the Chiefs. Wanting to see Mahomes cry about a call again. That would be fun, right? Because last year, that really got my hate meter turned up on him when he cried like a baby for 3 days after the Kadarius Toney offside penalty that was very clearly offside. You know? Especially if that happened in the Bills stadium, that could be really fun. 803-0550 is the phone number. There's a hockey thing I want to mention as well. There's some nonsense already about Tage Thompson and Team USA that's being written out there and being said. Bill Guerin, the GM of the U.S. hockey team, is making comments about Tage Thompson and his candidacy to be on. There's a tournament this year. The Olympics in a couple years. This year, the Four Nations Cup in the spring. And like, oh, Tage Thompson, one of the best centers in hockey, led the NHL in goals for a minute on Monday. He'll be on Team USA, right? Their GM is making comments like he's not going to be. And it's a total joke. And also the least surprising thing in the world. So I got some thought on that. Your phone calls, you got a guess on the legend of the game. Hang and hold, we'll get to you coming back here on WGR.
Time now for Building the Bills, brought to you by Hanes Supply. From our Buffalo roots to nationwide sales and service, we are your industrial contractor supplier.
All right, time now for Building the Bills. So for Building the Bills today, it's kind of a, you know, the stadium's going up right now. They're starting to kind of put together more of the, you know, concourse areas and what those are going to look like. Here's what I got for Building the Bills. The concourses for the new stadium, I'm like scouting other stadiums right now for that. For me, that was one of the things, like they put that survey out a couple years ago, like that was important for me. I went to Nashville and their soccer stadium had these huge, beautiful concourses, tons of space, lines were never like, oh, I got to walk through this guy who's in line because I just got to get through. None of that. And tonight I'm going to the Taylor Swift concert at Rogers Center in Toronto. And that's an older stadium. So I don't think I'm going to get, you know, hey, is this a concourse they should be copycatting? In fact, I think maybe it's going to be the opposite of that. But as the stadium continues to go up, we're going to start, I think, seeing more details of specific sections and areas of the stadium. So the pictures are getting more and more impressive, I think, by the week with the new stadium. 803-0550 is the phone number. Let's go to Jake in Buffalo, who's got a guess for the legend of the game. What's up, Jake?
Hey, how's it going, guys? It's a guess, but I'm very hopeful, and I hope these two fellas do it together. We're going to get Kyle Orton and Sammy Watkins walking out together. Thank you, guys.
Together. All right. they're a pairing? They're the pairing you want for that? If you ever were going to do a pairing, you would do Stevie Johnson and Ryan Fitzpatrick. If it was from a drought team. I mean, of course, Kelly and Reed or, you know, someone from those eras. Totally. But if you're doing a drought pairing, the only drought pairing you got to do is Fitz and Stevie together. That'd be my guess. Time out here. 803-0550 is the phone number. If you got more guesses on the legend of the game, we'll continue to talk Bills and Chiefs. And also, we'll talk some fantasy with Scott Pianowski coming up next from Yahoo. You got a big game tonight. How many fantasy relevant people tonight? Six? Seven? Might be more than that even. So Eagles and Commanders tonight, we'll get a little bit of the scoop on that. And we'll ask Scott about, you know, how much offense does he see from this Bills-Chiefs matchup? Get to that coming back here after the break. It's Jeremy and Joe. Joe DiBiase, Jeremy Beck coming up in the next hour here on WGR.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.